say. Today, I'm going to teach you how to speak Kiwi.
No, I'm not going to teach you how to speak Kiwi, or like a New Zealander, I'm going to explore the Kiwi fruit. This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. That was the call of the kiwi, a flightless bird indigenous to New Zealand. Around World War I, the kiwi came to represent the people of New Zealand, and the people have since been nicknamed kiwi. Using the term is not considered offensive, it is generally viewed as a symbol of pride and endearment, and both are completely unrelated to the kiwi fruit. The kiwi fruit started out as a Chinese gooseberry. In 1962, it was called kiwifruit by New Zealand growers, which was then adopted as the commercial name in 1974.
They're from the Yangtze Valley is where they're originated from, and they went to New Zealand, and because they have the shape of the kiwi bird, they were called kiwifruit.
Yeah, the little tail of the kiwi bird, that's how it got its name, kiwi.
I was amazed to find that it grows on the Central Coast. I was accidentally introduced to it by a local grower.
I'm Alan Schofield. This is my wife, Charlene. We've known Jenny a real long time.
Jenny Weaver from the California Rare Fruit Growers, at whose house we were.
She helped us start a vineyard of kiwi fruit, of which there's still a few left.
You said you have a kiwi vineyard. Don't kiwis grow on trees, and so wouldn't that be an orchard?
They're a very large vine, and if you don't support them, they'll be on the ground. Each plant can produce anywhere from 3 to 1,000 pounds of fruit. There's probably 3 or 4 fruit per pound. So you'd get, 1,000 pieces of fruit off a tree. There's a lot of labor involved. You have to pick them by hand. You have to be careful because the skin is delicate. You wear gloves when you pick them commercially because your fingernail can hurt it, damage it a little bit, and it'll grow a fungus and rot. While they're in storage, they store up to 6 months. You're welcome to come up and see it.
Alan made good on his word, and I headed to his farm in Napomo with our mutual friend, Jenny Weaver. They look like a dragon.
Well, that's interesting. I never thought of it like that. You'll see the trellis system that actually is required to hold them is, we've tried wood of all kinds, and wood can't take the strain, so everything's metal here. The vine itself is rather big, as you'll see in a minute.
We've got leaves that are about, 6 inches across.
Yeah, I've had them like dinner plates when I was raising them commercially. These were planted in about 1978.
Oh, so they're almost 40 years old.
Yes. They make actually pergolas out of this entire field just covered with vines, but they're harder to prune. Pruning is labor intensive also.
You heard me say that these vines were like dragons. At first sight, it was more like a movie scene when there has been a nuclear blast, and years later, all the vegetation is super huge. The kiwi vines were like super huge grapevines. Okay, well, let's take a look at the plant itself.
Alrighty.
Wow.
And this is what you would see. It's a rather big canopy. And the reason these trees are as low as they are, because when we originally grew them, we didn't get them up high enough. As you can see, the wires sag. They have a tendency to.
They're not bunched like grapes, but no. Because they're bigger, but they're kind of bunched like grapes.
They are a bunch, like this right here is. Yeah, there's a whole group of them on one thing. There's usually 2 or 3 or 4, one little tendril. This one's got 3. That's normally what they do is groups of 3. And the ones that are falling off, you might see a few on the ground, those got sunburned.
You said that they like moisture, but we had a drought for 6 years, and if they were planted in 1978, that means they've gone through 2 other droughts.
Yes, that's why we have a water system here. They actually got watered today. Today or tomorrow, I'm turning the water off for a while.
And how long will it take you to pick the remainder of this fruit?
Well, if my good friend Jenny jumps in, it might take an hour, hour and a half. Although we did have one tree years ago, there were 3 of us picking on it, and we picked over an hour, and we picked probably 1,500 pounds of fruit off it.
I never thought of kiwi growing here in California. What does it take to grow a kiwi vine? What kind of conditions do they like, soil and weather?
They're deciduous, so they go dormant in the wintertime, so they need cold weather to set fruit. And they can take freezing weather when they're dormant. But they're subtropical. They like warmth
moisture. When we had the acreage planted, you'd come down here and it would be moist. The leaves are looking the way they are now because they're tired, they're getting ready to go dormant.
Okay.
And that's when you prune them, is after they've dropped their leaves. These actually were grafted plants. Well, this is fruitwood. Many of the wild types out of seeds, if you plant seeds, you may get a producing female, but it's like an avocado. Probably not. And I'm not sure what the ratio is. Avocados out of 10,000, I think 100 might produce fruit. And out of them, one might be edible. So they're similar to that in you can plant these and from seed and they'll grow. Many times they'll be a male plant. I have one male down at the end here.
Male and female, like avocados.
The other thing with kiwi, you need a male plant and a female plant. The male does not produce fruit, only flowers to pollinate the female. So they're not self-pollinating.
How many males do you need per female?
Generally one male and then eight females around it.
That's quite the harem.
Yes, it is. And the only way you can tell the difference, besides lifting their leaves, is when they flower. And obviously the female flower has a little ball inside it that makes it look like it's going to develop into something, which it does.
Bees are important too.
Females produce the fruit, the males produce the pollen, so you try to have a lot of pollen floating around. And with the lack of honeybees now, there's other insects that will pollinate, but pollinating is a problem.
And is that lack of honeybees due to the use of pesticides and the increased car emissions and things like that?
Well, there's certainly less honeybees in the U.S. now. Yeah, the sudden hive collapse that they've got. We used to have tons of wild honeybees around here, or they came from hives that were some distance away, but now there's not too many. And also, these plants don't produce nectar. So only about two-thirds of the honeybees will work a plant without nectar. It's really, really pretty. When they're running around, it's a brilliant white little ball on their legs. You can tell they're having a good time and doing their job. So there are other insects that will pollinate, but probably not as readily as the honeybees do.
There is another kiwi vineyard down in Lompoc, nestled in the hills above the Lompoc Valley, where it has been a very different farming experience.
Sandra Newman, Lompoc, California. Forbidden Fruit Orchards. This is the hardy kiwi, originated from China, but these were all purchased in the United States by growers who grow the plants out.
So what does it take to grow these kiwi?
I'm still working that out. I don't have the answers to that yet. I started about 6 years ago as a test project. We have a couple issues with them that the farm agent and I have not been able to solve yet. So I have one last ditch effort this year to see if I can make this viable. It could be combinations of a lot of things, but where you can't seem to pinpoint it.
How much fruit have been getting off of it?
None. We have fruit that sets, but we have issues.
So, yeah, the vines are a lot skinnier. Have you seen these grown elsewhere?
They're grown in Oregon and Washington State, but not in California.
Okay, so you're dealing with a warmer climate down here, even though you're here in Lompoc, where you get the offshore fog and wind and stuff.
Yeah, we haven't figured out the issue yet. We've narrowed things down of what it's not, but we don't know why. I bought the vines as small one-year-olds, and I planted just this first row.
Okay.
And then I started adding plants to it. This harvest was September. We're actually now hoping in the next couple of weeks we can come in and start pruning. Well, there's about a full acre here between up top and here, and we're going to try to tunnel them this year. If we're not successful with the tunnels, then I'll probably be taking them out. I mean, they do produce fruit. They don't produce enough volume to make enough money off of.
So what have you been doing with the fruit that
farmers market?
Is it pretty popular at the farmers market?
Yes.
Okay.
I can sell it all at the farmers markets. That's not the problem. The problem is that in Oregon, in Washington, they can produce 50 pounds per plant, and maybe I'm getting 2-3 pounds per plant. And there's other issues. We don't know why.
6 years is a long time to be working on this project.
That's why this is just my side time. We don't spend a lot of money. You can see it's not weeded. is we don't spend money.
Sandra's struggle with her hardy varietal kiwi is another thing that points to how society takes food for granted. I would imagine that few think about test crops and the challenges of trying to bring new foods to the market. Sandra is trying to bring us a completely different type of kiwi than Alan's.
I grow two varieties. This variety is Ken's Red, and they're actually red.
Oh, cool.
It tastes to me more like a melon than it really does a kiwi. It's a different flavor than the other kiwis. There's no seeds and there's no skin.
Oh.
You eat the whole thing.
Is it green?
It can be green. It can be a brown color.
On the inside?
Inside is green. It could be red.
But as she pointed out, she's had a lot of trouble over the 6 years. This summer offered yet another challenge.
In September, in August, before that heat, it was beautiful. We had a decent set, but that weekend of that 111 degrees, every single kiwi fried and sunburned.
Oh, wow.
And it took us out of the market for it. We just, at that point, we're done.
Alan went through something similar.
This one is, that's edible.
But you said it got sunburned.
Yes, you can see the mark on it. And that's because of that intense heat wave we had. It didn't have enough leaf cover on the southern exposure. And so I have probably 100, 200 pieces of fruit with sunburn.
It's delicious. Everybody was calling from the farmers markets just saying, oh my God, the fruit's great. And they're pre-ordering and I'm like, I lost it all. So ruined avocados here. We lost about a third of our blueberry crop. Everything sunburned.
And that's farming, isn't it?
It's farming.
It sucks. My stepfather was a farmer in the Midwest, wheat and corn. August, right before harvest, everything can be beautiful, and then you get a hailstorm, and it's all gone.
So that's why everything is just, when we lost fruit, we're like, we're done. Next year. So I'll come up and start pruning hopefully soon.
Again, we the consumer can often be so removed from where our food comes from that we complain when the price goes up or it's not on the shelves, rather than having compassion for the farmer who has lost her livelihood. Yet Sandra perseveres.
It's farming, and it's problem solving.
What have you learned in the process?
I've learned that it's not a water problem. I've learned that it's not a fertilizer problem.
Have you talked to other growers of this type up in Oregon and Washington?
And they have no problem and do nothing. They have no problem and do nothing. So they don't understand.
Hey.
They can't advise. So that's why. So our last ditch effort is going to see if it's humidity, increased humidity. So we just don't know. I mean, we just have no clue.
So what are the biggest challenges you find for farming, and particularly when you're trying to do a test crop like this one?
I wish they could talk. I don't know, it's part of the fun of the challenge.
So you don't get disappointed, you find it a challenge that you can work with and wrestle with?
Yes, that's kind of why I pick projects that nobody else does.
Is this the most difficult challenge that you've had in terms of a test crop?
Yes, I can say yes. Yes, all the way around. Pruning was challenging, trying to figure out how much water they like, fertilizer, everything's been challenging with this crop. I wish I had the answers, working on it.
I admire the dedication and hard work that Sandra is putting into her Ken's Red test crop. Her struggle is the reality of farming. Like all farmers, she is dealing with living organisms who have their own needs, and as she pointed out, they can't talk. They can't tell her what they need. It doesn't matter if you're a hobby farmer or a corporate farmer, losing a crop or getting something wrong is a reality. When Sandra does have a great crop, she might need this nifty tool that Alan demonstrated. So Jenny just handed you a nifty little tool.
A refractometer, which grape growers use. For kiwi fruit, you test the bricks sugar level. In fact, I'll cut one open and let you look at it.
Okay.
This is actually what you do, and when you're first producing fruit, to pick a good piece of fruit off a tree and cut it open, that's hard to do because you don't have that much fruit, so you don't want to waste it. If you whack this thing open, it's real pretty. Very, very nice shade of green, and the seeds are purple black. What you have to do is squeeze them to get the juice. Drop the juice onto the slide and then you close the cover. And if you look through there, it's up 7.5 roughly. Somewhere near there.
9.
Okay. Yeah, it's up. Well, it's up over 8. 6.2 is what the commercial market recommends or will allow. Less than 6.2, they don't taste good. This would be a real tasty kiwi. And what I also do, just to check, is I do that and it tastes...
You just lick it.
Yeah.
It develops its sugar and then softens.
Correct. Yes.
As with any small business, the owner is not the only producer of the goods, but the buyer, the stock manager, the marketer, and the list goes on.
After they produce like they have this year, we'll keep a few in the refrigerator and they'll keep for you know, 2-3 months. That's a plus, but it's also a minus because perishable fruit sells better than non-perishable. And if you keep this, it costs money if you try to store it. And then you're at the vagaries of the market. A lot of the kiwi fruit that, say, comes from New Zealand, their season is about opposite ours. And so their fruit would be how many months old? And it's been kept in cold storage. They're sensitive to ethylene, as is most fruit. That's what ripens fruit. And so if you, say, have them in cold storage and they're not scrubbing ethylene out of the air, well, these things will soften when they're in storage, and then you get to pay for a repack or you throw the fruit away. Stores don't like to buy softened fruit, although they are doing it successfully with avocados. And I think you could do it with kiwi, but nobody's ever done it.
So what can one do with kiwi besides just eat them? What are some of the more creative things that you've done with it in your kitchen? And I'm assuming you've done a lot of playing with kiwi beyond the fruit smoothie and the fruit salad.
Well, the actual recipes, if you Google the California Kiwi Commission, they have all kinds of things you can do with kiwi fruit. And of course, most of it is similar to what we brought over to Jenny's. You know, you put them on something because they're attractive and they taste good. Can use them as a meat tenderizer, and there are sauces that you can make with kiwi fruit. I have a list of the recipes in the house, or a few that I've dug up. Off the top of my head, mostly I eat them.
What you're hearing is the haka. It's a traditional war dance in the Maori culture. New Zealand sports teams perform a haka before their games. I thought a bit of haka would be good for me as I get my game on in the kitchen with kiwi. After a hiatus of several months, I'm actually back in my kitchen to play with food. Alan gave me a really big bag of kiwi fruit, and so I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do with it. So I've got here some Brussels sprouts, some baby bok choy, some avocados, tomatoes, serrano chilies, some onions, some cucumber. And I think what I'm going to do is see how I can make some vegetables with it, because we often saute some different vegetables in orange juice or lemon juice. So I'm wondering if we can do that with kiwi. I also want to make a salsa because I've seen a salsa and I like spicy, and these are really sweet, and maybe the spicy will balance the sweet. Then I want to make a little compote to put on the pork. A lot of the recipes were about how kiwi can be used as a tenderizer, but I want to use it as a compote, so it's kind of kiwi forward. And pork was what I had in the freezer, so I have a pork chop that I'm going to try that with. So let me get started with kiwi cucumber salsa because I'm hungry and I want a snack while I cook. So I'm going to use my knife to peel a kiwi, kind of like chefs peel oranges. They're not as soft as they should be, but oh well. Because they're not as soft as I think they should be, or as soft as the ones that Alan had, I am going to take a little bite and see what they taste like. They're still really sweet. It is a little firm, but it's not too firm. It's about as firm as a pear. It's going to work well in the salsa, at least, because it's going to hold up. So let's keep chopping vegetables. I've got kiwi, cucumber, green onion, serrano chili, and I can tell the serrano chili is really hot just by the vapors that came up while I was chopping it. Now I've got to figure out the spices to put in it. And like with the persimmons that I did last year that were really, really sweet, those earthy spices of the Middle East really helped balance that out. So I'm going to actually try some cardamom and a little ground coriander to see what those taste like in this. I mean, I can't really ruin it. I'm not making it for anybody else but me. So we're going to give that a try. Some salt, some pepper, cardamom, and ground coriander. Toss that all together. Maybe a squeeze of lime after I've had my first taste. There's a lot less liquid than when you use tomatoes. That squeeze of lime might be a good idea. But let's have a first taste with a chip. I don't know if these are legal flavors, but it's really good. And it doesn't need the lime because the kiwi has that lime acidity and kind of has a limey flavor. It's really good. And it's, like I said, it's a little bit more dry, but it's really tasty.
the cardamom just really bursts forth, and it's really enhanced by the kiwi, and vice versa. And the cucumber really just gives the texture, because cucumbers have such a bland flavor. It's really good. I would suggest taking like equal amounts of finely diced kiwi and cucumber, then add some serrano as hot as you like it to be, add some green onion to it, chopped up green onion, and sprinkle a little bit of cardamom, a little bit of a ground pepper, salt, ground coriander. It's beautiful. It's really nice. Now for a vegetable. I was originally going to mash up some kiwi and saute some carrots, because I like to make carrots sauteed in butter, and then you squeeze some orange juice over it and reduce that down, and it's really nice. I've done that with Brussels sprouts as well. I am one of those people who has always liked Brussels sprouts, even when I was a kid. We have gigantic Brussels sprouts here on the Central Coast. I think that they're probably a great advertisement for Miracle-Gro because they're just huge. I've had one the size of an apple. I'm going to shred the Brussels sprouts, finely dice the carrots. I'm going to saute those in vegetable oil, maybe with a little green onion, maybe with a little serrano because I like things hot. And at the end, I'm going to throw in some kiwi and stir that up really quick before the kiwi dissolves into slime. These Brussels sprouts are so large that two Brussels sprouts equals about a cup and a half of chopped Brussels sprouts. So shredded Brussels sprouts, diced carrots, diced onion, chopped garlic, also go into some flavorless hot vegetable oil. I will saute this down until everything's not quite soft, to still have some texture to it. And when I get there, I will add in some serrano, and I will add in the kiwi until it's just warmed. And then we'll take a bite, and then we'll work on the main course. All of that's now been reduced down a little bit. It's still firm, but not crunchy and not slimy. And now I'm gonna add some mashed kiwi to it, about a half a kiwi. I'm not adding any herbs and spices because I want this to be like how I often prepare shredded Brussels sprouts or diced carrots or baby carrots. And that's with just warming them up in a saute pan and then adding the orange juice. And so this is gonna be kind of the equivalent of that, where those flavors of just the vegetables and the fruit come out together. Carrots and Brussels sprouts sauteed with kiwi. Let's have a taste. I'm hot. Well, I'm not sure what the kiwi does. This is good. It's not bad at all. Or just maybe it needed more kiwi. Hang on, let me find a bite with more kiwi. It's a nice dish, but it's not really kiwi forward. I can't really tell how the kiwi comes into this dish. So I think I'm going to move on to the main dish. I'm going to make a pork chop with a kiwi and avocado compote on top of it. So I'm going to start with the same salsa that I made because I really liked the cardamom and I liked the serrano chili. I liked how the kiwi came out and stood out against the serrano chili. I'm going to add some avocado to that to give it a little bit more texture and add more cardamom and a little bit more coriander powder and grill a pork chop to perfection and put that on top. And I think that, along with these vegetables, will make a lovely, lovely dinner. First thing to do is get this pork chop on a hot griddle. While that's going, I need to get the avocado and the kiwi and the cucumber into a bowl, chop up some more onion, put some more spices in it, and we're good to go. It's really easy to do. Unfortunately, I didn't buy any fresh herbs to check out what will go with kiwi, but I think this might be a winner. And some fresh chopped tomato gives it that nice Christmassy color of green and red. I've let the pork rest a little bit, as you should do after you take it off of the grill. And I've added my compote or salsa or whatever you want to call it. And it's time to take a bite. Make sure there's pork and the avocado kiwi compote, and let me taste. I am not a fruit and meat fan at all, but sometimes you just get the right combination. The kiwi, because it's mixed with other things, is not overpowering. It's a beautiful pork chop, and you get that blend of pork and kiwi, and then you get the different textures of the creamy avocado and the juicy cucumber and the tomatoes, and then those warm spices from the Middle East.
It's a delightful creation that I made with stuff in my cupboard and the kiwis that he gave me. So if you want to try something, I say get out there, get your kiwi on, and go for it. It's a nice dinner on a Tuesday night.
As always, it has been fun traversing the Central Coast, learning about a new food, in this case kiwi, and playing with it in my kitchen. Alan gave me enough kiwi to make a traditional pavlova for dessert on Christmas Day. I will be serving pork, but I will leave the kiwi for the dessert. Before this segment, I wasn't particularly fond of kiwi because, as I said when we first met at Jenny's house...
Well, convince me, because I'm not really a kiwi fan, and it largely has to do with texture, but convince me, because I probably haven't had a decent kiwi. And they're either al dente or slimy when you get them in restaurants as well. I also don't eat them because they're a high-maintenance food, because you have to peel them.
But this playing with food has resulted in a change of taste. I have also been offered a bit of hope. Back at Forbidden Fruit Orchards, not all is lost.
With regard to this 6-year project that you've been on with these kiwi, what have you found rewarding about this project?
The fruit. It is very pretty, and it has nice flavor. And I also think that if I can solve this problem, it might be a nice little niche crop for us that brings in some revenue.
Go for it, Sandra. I'll be back next year to try those Ken's Red Kiwi. One last fun story before we close. If you ever need to describe kiwi to someone, try this award-winning slogan.
When I was working at Alan's place growing kiwis, a friend of mine entered a contest to describe a kiwi because they were just coming out and nobody knew what they were, what they tasted like. So his entry was... the zesty fruit cocktail in the plain brown wrapper. And he won, a trip to New Zealand, and he got to go visit all these kiwi growers. And I was really upset because I knew all about kiwis, but he just described, you know, the fuzzy thing.
Enjoy the zesty fruit cocktail in the plain brown wrapper that is produced right here on the Central Coast while it's in season. You're bound to have a much more delightful experience than you have perhaps in the past. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. Don't say yeah, don't.